What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're on episode 72, and this episode is brought to you by Zalman. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Zalman, you'll see what they're currently offering, and they have a lot of really cool stuff coming out this fall. One of the cool things that they just released is a brand new keyboard, which they sent us, which basically is pretty much indestructible. It's waterproof, it's dustproof. We're going to be running through a bunch of crazy tests, so definitely stay tuned for that. And like most podcasts, we have Derek. What's up, Derek?
Yo, what's up, Bob? Hello, everyone else.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's Friday. We're trying to get to the weekend here.
Of course.
Hopefully.
Push our way through this podcast.
Yes, we've been having some technical difficulties, so it's been frustrating. Like, we should be done with the podcast already.
Yeah.
But hopefully we get through this without any more of those, so we don't have to start over again.
Yeah, just so everyone knows, like, the first couple that we recorded, we were doing so good. It was so entertaining. We were hilarious.
Yeah, you guys missed out. You'll never hear it. It will never air. So,
we do our best right now, though.
Yes. So, talking about this week and what we have going on, there were no reviews this week, and the reason for that is because I'm reviewing some pretty awesome products, and I just didn't want to push out reviews that were kind of sugar-coated over, and I didn't go into great detail. If you read any of my motherboard reviews, you know I go into pretty high detail. So I didn't want to do that just to get the review out, just to get it out to you guys. So stay tuned next week. We'll have a bunch of really detailed, in-depth reviews. But with that, we did do a pretty cool article on something that Thermaltake offers with their power supplies, or with their, specifically their DPSG power supplies, and that's their smart power supplies. And what it's called is called their Smart Power Management Platform, or SPM. And what it is, it's basically a cloud-based platform that takes all of that data that your power supply records, because it, again, it is a smart power supply. So it's recording all of your voltages, all of the power that you're using. It's recording temperatures. It's even recording like your CPU temperature and all the power going to your CPU, as well as your graphics card. It's recording all the stuff in real time. But with this platform, what it does is it's saving all that data and it's uploading it every 6 hours. And so, you know, you have all this data. What are you going to do with it? Well, you can see how much power you're using over time. You can see your temperatures over time. You can see, you know, it can gauge when you're using the most power. You can set schedules of when your PC shuts down. It has a remote feature, so you can remotely shut down your PC. It has all this stuff. And I think the best thing about it is that, again, you can see your power usage over time. Because a lot of people are really power conscious, and, you know, they want to, you know, save the world and not use a whole lot of power. And, you know, and that's when, you know, all of our power supplies now are super efficient and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, people like to see that. And it's just good to see over time how much power you're using. You can set goals of how much power you want to use, and it'll let you know if you're going over that goal. So it's really for people who are power conscious and, you know, just want to see all that data and obviously change their habits a little bit to obviously help the environment. So I think it's super cool. Again, it's 100% free. You just set it up through Thermaltake's DPSG app, and you just kind of set it and forget it. And you can just log in a month from then and see all your data. And it's always stored. Again, it's just uploading every 6 hours. And the one cool thing that I did talk about is that it does have a remote feature, so you can remotely shut down your PC, which is kind of nice. If you're leaving the house and you just forget to turn it off, or you're going on vacation. I do this a lot. I'm like, oh, I'll shut down my PC right before I go, and then I forget.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it does have a mobile app too, so if I don't bring my laptop with me, I can go in and I can obviously track all that data on my mobile device, but I can also remotely shut down my PC. So I like it. It's cool. It's cool that they have this platform. It's cool that they're providing it for free, and it's pretty useful, I think, if you want to track all that kind of data.
Yeah, I think it's cool that, I mean, the history lets you know, like, is your PC doing something it shouldn't be doing? Potentially, you could use this to figure out, you know, if you've got, like, viruses or malware or something running in the background that waits for it to idle. This would actually track using, because, you know, it's going to, your processor is going to speed up and it's going to use more power, so you can actually maybe see some trends that you got things going on that you need to clean up.
Yeah, like if you always see your power increase at a certain time, And again, it's not only tracking the power, but it will track everything that the DPSG app is tracking. So it's going to track all of your temperatures that you have in there. It's going to track all of your fan speeds as well. So it's tracking a lot of stuff.
So is it pulling motherboard data then?
Yes.
Okay.
So it pulls a lot of different stuff. And so it's tracking all of that. And it's going to give you the data for all of that. While it is very power centric, again, you can track your temperatures on your CPU. So obviously, you know, if your CPU is heating up, it's doing something. Yeah. Or your CPU cooler has died.
You know, another thing from like back in the day when I used to do really, when I'd overclock, I'd do really long like tests while I was gone. This could actually let me know when like testing was done or if it failed and shut down or something.
Yeah, it's cool. You could do that. I'm pretty sure. I didn't really test it all that much, but you can set alerts too. So, like, if your power goes over a certain thing, and I'm pretty sure you can do it for temperatures as well. So, you know, you're out or something like that, and you have the mobile app, and your CPU is overheating.
You got like a water cooling loop, and like all of a sudden it overheats.
Yeah. While most systems nowadays will shut themselves down, most motherboards have it built in. Unless you turn it off, which you really shouldn't turn it off.
No, that's the one you leave on.
Yes, that's the one you leave on, for sure. And most CPUs have it built into the actual architecture to turn off.
Thermal shutdown.
But for some reason, if that's not working, this will give you an alert, and you can remotely just hit shutdown and just, you know, stop it before it kills anything.
Yeah, you know, the other thing too is those thermal limits where it actually will shut it down, those are actually pretty high, like quite a bit higher than you'd probably want to let it go.
Yeah.
So like if this tells you, you know, you've hit, I don't know, 10% over whatever threshold you decided, you can go in there and remote shut down. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. So like I said, it's 100% free. If you own a Thermaltake DPSG power supplies, and these are really good power supplies too. If you own one, might as well just turn it on. Yeah. I don't see why you wouldn't use it unless you're like weird about uploading your data every 6 hours.
I mean, it does open your desktop to another channel of attack or whatever. But
yes,
what
just like anything we do, like if you have a Dropbox account or like if you're on Google, like any Google service, it's the same thing.
Yeah,
you know.
Choose what risks you'll take.
Yes. But again, it is super cool. It's 100% free. You'll never be charged for it, obviously. It's cool that they provide it. Something. It's like another value add-on if you decide to go with Thermaltake when it comes to your power supply. So,
if you were a Bitcoin miner, this could be incredibly useful, I think.
Yes.
So that you can, you know, very accurately monitor how much power you're using versus what you're making from it.
And you can go in there and set how much you're being charged, the kilowatt per hour. And you can then, once you put in that data, so whatever you're getting charged by the power company per kilowatt per hour, you can put in, and then it will tell you exactly how much it's costing to run your computer.
Yeah.
So that, again, if you're running any type of data crunching or anything where obviously your computer's using a lot of power, you can accurately calculate how much it's using, so then you need to make sure you're making this much money off of any type of cryptocurrency mining or whatever you may be doing.
Yep.
So yeah, that's super cool. 100% free. Should use it if you're using DPSG power supply.
I see. I don't know. It should be fairly popular. I was going to say I see other people copying this, but then at the same time I'm like, maybe not.
Yeah, I think, and the thing is too, is that you need to have the infrastructure, the cloud platform to do it, and they're obviously losing money on this.
Yeah, this is just straight up an investment.
Yeah, so
I wonder, do you think it'll stay free for the life of it? I also can't see anybody actually paying for this.
I can't see somebody paying for this. Maybe if I'm running a data, or I'm running like a cryptocurrency mining deal, which isn't really popular anymore, and if I'm doing that anyways, I would be tracking my power another way.
There are other ways to do it.
So I think it will remain free. I think that the only way they would shut it down is if it costs them too much, and I don't think that's an issue with them right now. So all right, so that brings us to Case Mod Friday, and Case Mod Friday is of course where we cover a build or mod that's been completed and the awesome Case Mod community that we have. And this week we have a build from the guys over at GGF LAN Party, and they always do awesome builds. I really like their builds, and they kind of have a feel and look all their own. GGF does. They just do really great work, and they are they showcased the Fantex Evolve ATX, and that's one of your favorite cases, Derek.
Definitely.
And it is the tempered glass edition. That's the one that has the tempered glass side panel. And they pretty much did a pretty, I wouldn't say super simple build, but it's not a crazy over-the-top mob. But they did a lot of really cool stuff. Did some painting, changed the colors a little bit. Obviously, custom water cooling loop in there. I like the colors a lot. I do like the, it's a yellow and black and silver.
Yeah, silver or gray. It's like a, I don't know. Yeah, I guess it's just straight yellow. I want to say it's like a poison yellow, but I think that's just kind of like the overall feel that you get from it.
Yeah.
It's kind of a neon-y, I don't know, neon yellow. It's a cool build. It's like you said, it's not like over the top. It's really well done. It's got there's two things about it for me. One thing I really like, and one thing that I've had enough of. The thing that I'm like sick of is this like hex like honeycomb design. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's been in like, and it was really, it's really cool. I really like it, but it's been in like every builder has done it, I feel like, and some have done it like multiple times. And so I'm just like sick of it. The thing that I really like though, is there's a ton of custom lighting in this, and I don't think that lighting gets enough attention in builds lately. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah. The one cool lighting feature that I like is the, where they route the tubing down through the power supply cover, those openings have like the opening has a LED circle type light deal.
Yeah, so they're Bits Power pass through ports, right? So they actually screw the fittings into those right there, and then there's like there's LED rings around them. Right,
yeah, super cool. That was actually one of my favorite things about this were those, because I don't think a lot of people do that. And I think it's just that extra little effect that makes it super cool.
Yeah, and doing that sort of thing and making it, like, all these little lighting things and keeping it clean with the wiring and stuff is pretty cool. It's impressive.
And they do have that custom LCD screen that says...
Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's a custom LCD screen that's in the SSD plate on the...
front of the shroud?
Yeah, on the front of the power supply shroud. And it's in real time, it's showing you the temperatures and everything like that.
Okay. I thought it was like just like a plaque or something. But
that's what I thought.
Super cool.
That's what I thought when I first looked at this. And then I obviously read up on it. And that's it. That's an actual LCD that's showing you that stuff in real time. So that's super cool too.
Yeah, that's sick.
But yeah, this is just a great build. Obviously a great case as well. This is, again, one of Derek's favorite cases. Yeah. And like I said, GGF does great builds all the time, and they have it's just so well done, and it's so clean. I think it's the best thing I like about their builds is they're super clean.
Yeah, their polish as well is top level. Yeah, I really I think a big part of their like what sets their builds off too is that their display is really cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they've got
this background with all these old product boxes, and it's always really well lit. That's kind of a major key to displaying a good build.
Yeah, they always, their photography is really well. They usually have videos for each one of their builds, and they're just really, really well done. So definitely, we link to them in the post, so you can check out all their stuff. But just a great build, and you can just go ahead and check it out. And as always, I tell you, go back and check out all of our Case Mod Friday builds. We've been featuring cases for, I would say, 3 years now. So. Yeah. There are quite a lot there. Give you inspiration. If you're maybe a first-time builder and you want to, you know, thinking about building your own PC, this will give you some inspiration to just build your own PC, I think, as well, and all the cool stuff that you can do. So,
yeah, I mean, that's what got me into modding is just, you know, seeing everybody else's awesome rig, and I'm like, well, I want that too. And then, you know, you pick something simple and you start off.
And like I said, even building a PC yourself or getting into modding, you're learning as you go, and I think that's one of the coolest things about it too.
Yeah, none of these people like came into this knowing exactly what they're doing. Believe me, nobody. And so, you know, you start from the bottom and you just start trying stuff. And really, the biggest thing is just if you think of something, just try it. You can almost always fabricate it if you work at it hard enough.
Yeah, and if you take the time, you can totally do a lot of these. A lot of these builds that we featured, like, again, don't feature a whole lot of modding. They're just clean builds with some custom water cooling or whatever. So, you know, you could just teach yourself, and you could maybe possibly be featured one day on Case Mod Friday.
sure.
Yes. So let's jump right into news. And the big thing, which was announced last night, which Derek was super excited for, but isn't anymore. NVIDIA just announced the brand new Titan X. So we thought for the longest time that the new Titan card would be called the Titan P for Pascal, but it looks like NVIDIA is keeping the exact same naming. Yeah. So it is going to be the Titan X. This is Pascal powered, obviously. So it features the Pascal GP102 GPU. NVIDIA says this is the biggest GPU they've ever built. It has 3,584 CUDA cores, and it's clocked at 1.53 gigahertz. And the card has 12 billion transistors, 12 gigabytes of GDDR5X memory. It's a beast.
Huge bandwidth.
Yeah, and
gigabits per second.
They say it's going to have, it's 60% faster than the old Titan X. So that's a pretty big leap as well. The card is said to be available August 2nd for $1,200.
Can I talk about what I hate about it now?
Yes, go ahead.
First of all, it's GDDR5X, so fail completely, NVIDIA. This should have been HBM2. You suck. 12 gigabytes for a $1,200 card at this point. You probably should have just gone 16, but they're probably out of room on it. So I guess their fault, not their fault.
Yeah.
What else? I guess that's it. Well, it's $1,200. I don't think it's probably, honestly, it probably doesn't have enough performance to justify the price tag. It's probably going to be between 10 and 20% faster than a 1080, I would guess.
Yeah, we're not sure yet.
If it's 60% faster than a Titan, I just guessing around in my head.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be between 10 and 20%. And I don't, that's, well, what's the 1080? $600?
Yes.
That's twice as much money. Does anybody else see the problem?
Yeah. It's we'll have to see how this kind of rolls out and see the performance difference. And obviously, this isn't an ultimate gaming card. I think the ultimate gaming card is the 1080 and possibly 1080 Ti.
Yeah.
I think this is hits that between consumer and
like a prosumer.
Pro, I think it's a prosumer card. You could do a lot of more stuff with this than say a 1080 when it comes to VR and when it comes to a lot of other stuff
like number crunching
and yeah things like that
engineering type stuff
yeah so this is a card
yeah
you could do both things with I think
and I mean it's this isn't this is just no this is EPIN it's got EPIN written all over it. That's kind of an old word I guess but you know that's all that's essentially what I see this as. This is just buying this so that you can say you have it,
right? Yes.
And those people, they'll buy, I assume this will do SLI, but that's a bit of an assumption right now with NVIDIA, but assuming it does SLI, they'll buy as many as they can, you know.
I didn't look at all the photos, but I'm not sure if it has SLI fingers. Yeah, I didn't really get the look.
I would think so, at least single SLI, you know?
Yeah.
Or dual, like whatever you call it.
But that is the new big boy on the block from NVIDIA. Yeah. I really didn't think we were going to see HBM2 on that card. It's just not going to... Yeah, that's just not what...
That's absurd to me. This is just... It's kind of stealing from the consumer right now.
Yeah, but I know people will buy it just like... You know, just to say that they have it.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see the real performance numbers over the 1080. Because again, you can get two 1080s, and depending on the scaling, you know, you could have better performance. But again, this has the other features as far as enterprise type deals. So if you're doing both,
yeah,
this could be the great
deep learning, the different instruction sets, 32-bit floating point. That stuff is a big deal for.
Yeah, so this would be a card if you are doing that stuff, plus you're a gamer, this could be the perfect single card for you.
Yeah.
I don't think at $1,200, though, is no. But
yeah, I mean, I did this. I bought two Titans when they came out. I paid that much money for it, and it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool, but I got rid of them pretty quickly.
Yeah. So, we will definitely have more information on this, as there should be reviews coming out August 2nd or around that time.
Yeah, that's pretty quick. Can you believe it's already August?
Oh, don't even remind me, dude. I think about this every day, how fast summer's going by, and I want to shoot myself. So it's going to get into holiday season, which means a lot of really cool products, which I'm pretty pumped about.
It is, I guess, sort of in a way, it's moving towards computer season.
Yes, I do like that aspect of it, because we are kind of in the boring time. Yes, we have a lot of these graphics card releases, but they're not, besides that, there's not a whole lot of new products. Like, every week we talk about graphics cards. Like, half our news this week is all graphics cards. Yeah,
which is good, all well and good, but...
Yeah, it's like we don't have a lot of other cool stuff coming out, especially like one of our favorite things is cases. There's not a whole lot of cases coming out. Like, everything gets announced August, September, October, November.
Back to school and holidays.
Yes. So, obviously, back to graphics cards. Yeah. NVIDIA officially announced availability of the GeForce GTX 1060. This is their card that's going to compete directly with AMD's RX 480. We talked about it last week. Based on the GP106 silicon, and it will be, the Founders Edition is $299, whereas the just the other non-Founders Edition cards will be $249. So a $50 premium over the RX 480. Since it has been out, it does beat the RX 480 at pretty much everything.
Oh, cool.
So it's a little bit faster, but again, you're paying $50 more. So
yeah, how much? A little bit faster. What's the? I haven't seen any graphs.
Most games, you're looking at between 5 FPS difference.
No, I'll keep you know, $50.
Yeah, and the thing about the 1060 is, if you think about it, you can't do SLI.
No.
So you know, again, if you're buying the RX 480, and then maybe down the line you're going to get a second one, you're going to obviously benefit from that. Whereas if you only have enough money for a 1060. And maybe down the line, you're not going to have... you maybe want to get another one. You can't. So...
Yeah, like, the deal is, like, you get a 1060, and it's good right now, right? It plays everything right now. But give it a couple of years, and you still want to use the same card. You can't, almost, you know?
Yeah.
You're making sacrifices. Whereas with the RX 480, just buy, at that point, you'll buy one that's on sale. And you'll maybe a $150 upgrade, and you're good to go again. So...
Yeah. So, also talking about the RX 480... we had talked about it last week, the Vulkan API, which is this API that really allows developers to get more performance out of graphics cards. We talked about other AMD cards performing better with Vulkan enabled. And this week, a new test came out directly comparing these two cards. So we're directly comparing the RX 480 to the GTX 1060.
Okay.
And while, as I said, the GTX 1060 beats the RX 480 and everything.
Yeah.
Again, by a couple of frames per second, but it always beats it.
Okay.
But in Doom, when Vulkan is enabled, the RX 480 beats it, which is pretty impressive. And if you look at the graphs that we have in the post, It adds a significant amount of performance. Just to give you an example, so the GeForce GTX 1060 in 4K in Doom does 28 frames a second on average. Okay.
Okay.
The RX 480 does 26 frames a second. Okay. So again, 2 frames difference, right?
Yeah.
But when Vulkan is enabled, the RX 480 does 35 frames a second, whereas the 1060 stays at the same 28 frames a second.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And obviously it goes down, so they have their 1440p performance and 1080p performance. Just to give you an example, 1080p performance, GTX 1060 does 83 frames a second compared to the 78 frames a second of the RX 480. But when Vulkan is enabled, the RX 480 jumps up to 110 frames a second from 78. So
this is going to turn into like a war of the developers' choice.
If they're like, going to enable. And there's only 4 games out right now that have Vulkan. So
you can actually use it.
Yeah, that you can actually use it. Now, Unreal Engine 4 supports Vulkan. So does ID Tech Engine 6. That's what powers Doom. And Valve's Source 2 engine also has Vulkan support. So, you know, a lot of games use Unreal Engine and Source Engine and stuff. So if they enable it, it's like, it doesn't matter how close the cards are together. You know, like, these are cards that are made to go head and head. But if the game that I want to play the most has Vulkan support, I'm going to buy the other card because I know I'm going to get the extra boost. I mean, it's like almost a 30 on 1080p. That's almost a 30% boost in performance. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, just because of the instructions are better.
Yeah. So that's something that's really going to, I think, as Vulkan gets put into more games, it's going to be a real game changer, I think.
Yeah, now, it obviously is fighting directly with DirectX, like, in general, right?
Yes.
12. And Windows is really keen on, you know, pushing DirectX 12. So I wonder what sort of... We're probably a lot of backroom deals going down here between these companies.
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it. But I think that, again, it's just going to be a war of the developers of who's going to enable Vulkan in their game. And obviously,
as a major developer now, you can probably just cash in. Like, hey, AMD, do you want your card to play well in our game?
Yeah,
write us a check.
And look at all the press the games are just getting because they have Vulkan. I mean, look at, we talked about it last week. We're talking about it this week. We're talking about Doom 2 weeks in a row.
Never would have talked about these games otherwise.
Yeah. So, I mean,
not this week at least, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about Doom when it came out and when it was about to come out. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, so it's a big thing. And I think that, you know, if you're buying the $200 RX 480, you know, and the 249 1060 beats it, but then if I have a game that I like that I can get 30% more performance out of because I enable Vulkan, that's going to push me more towards RX 480.
Now, on the other hand, though, just like Mantle, when Mantle came out, like, is this just, like, a false hope?
Yeah. You know, is it just like going to be a couple games?
Fool's buck, you know?
Yeah.
It's just nothing, yeah. Because Mantle was, like, that was... And was that Battlefield 4? The Mantle was kind of launched.
Yeah, I think.
Which is a huge title. And it was like, oh, this is going to be a game changer. This is going to destroy NVIDIA. And when was the last time you saw news about Mantle doing anything? Or even?
Yeah, well, it's because...
Vulkan is now Mantle.
Yeah. But I think too, when that all happened, that's when AMD was kind of like not doing the right thing. That's I believe that was before the AMD the Radeon Technologies Group was formed, before they kind of changed everything around.
Before they got their CEO.
Yeah, like before they did all that kind of stuff. So we'll see. I think that it makes it interesting, and it makes it... I know all certainly the AMD fanboys love it.
I love it, and I'm not a fanboy. I think it's cool that something... I mean, we know this, but, like, we're such hardware people that, like, software is a huge part of what our hardware does, you know?
Yes.
So I think it's really cool. But, yeah, I don't get hung up on, like, hoping that these things are going to work, especially with AMD from their history, you know?
Yeah. Well, we will just see how it plays out. And it would be cool if a lot more games do support it, because I think it just, the extra performance for free, basically, is good.
Yeah, and I mean, you might be on one team or the other, or one card or the other. Just consider that it's great that somebody that, like, can't afford, like, a huge, awesome $3,000 gaming PC is maybe going to be able to play the same games you are. I think that's a cool thing.
Yeah, that's super cool.
We don't need to be, you know, selfish about stuff. That's cool.
Exactly. So, talking about the RX 480, two custom RX 480s came out this week. And the first one we talked about for a while, because this is one that everybody's been super excited about, is the Power Color Radeon RX 480 Red Devil. And that's super high-end card. This card has a triple fan cooling solution, super overclocked up to 1.4 gigahertz, which is pretty high.
That's pretty high.
Yeah. It's a really awesome looking card. The back plate actually has a pentagram on the back, which I don't know how well that would go over in the United States.
there are there are certain groups in the United States that wouldn't be done with that. That's
because parents are crazy, and I don't know. But it is a really nice card. It's super awesome, and like I said, it has the awesome cooling solution, super high overclock. It's awesome,
and it's a cool looking card.
Yes. Has, like I said, full backplate. So a lot of these RX 480s don't have full backplates. Has full backplate, good looking card, super high overclock. But sadly, we probably won't see it in the United States.
We'll see some power color.
Select places will have it. It will be hard to find.
Okay.
Yes.
This is another card with a little bit of hangover on the cooler over the edge of the PCB.
Yes, it's a big cooler.
Yeah.
The second one comes from XFX, and this is their RX 480 Double Dissipation. And this, just like the other one, uses a custom designed PCB. Really nice heavy cooling solution on there. So you are going to have a lot of overclocking headroom. Two 90 millimeter cooling fans. And one thing that's really cool about XFX is cooling solutions is that you can actually remove the fans without having to remove the shroud or anything. They kind of just pop out.
Yeah, which is really cool for cleaning.
So you can clean, and you can clean under them as well. This also has a full backplate with the XFX logo on it. The six-phase VRM with the International Rectifier direct FETs, which are super high-end.
Yeah.
So you should have great power delivery there as well. So both of these should be available now or soon, hopefully soon. Yes. So if you're looking for an RX 480, definitely just like stay tuned a little bit, because I would get the custom version. I would not get the stock one unless you really needed it.
So I think it'd be really fun to get one of these custom ones and then do some liquid nitrogen cooling and overclocking.
Super high overclock, yes.
Yeah. That'd be a lot of fun. These, yeah. I mean, it's really cool to see the flagship cards to do that with, but like, it's kind of fun to go with one of the lower end ones and just see, because a lot of times you can get them faster, right?
Yeah, so well,
performance
the thing
is obviously still lower, but you know, you can clock them faster a lot of times.
Yeah, you can definitely clock them faster. So yeah, so which card would you get if you were going to get an RX 480, and you can get any custom one you want, or a GTX 1060?
I think one we saw last week. I like this one.
The Sapphire card.
Yeah, I think it was the Sapphire card.
That is a nice card.
I gotta look at the show notes now.
I'm pretty sure it's a Sapphire card. I messed up last week's show notes because they're gonna.
It was like silver, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, you messed up last week's show notes?
Yeah, I overwrote them, so they're not the right ones on the drive.
Okay. Well, anyways, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was like a little blockier kind of looking, right?
Yeah, I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Yeah, that's the one I would get, I think.
Yeah,
I think I would definitely do a 480 over a 1060 if you were asking that as well.
I think I would too.
Yeah.
And I've primarily been an NVIDIA guy. But I just think for, obviously, what could happen with Vulkan and the fact that I can SLI I can crossfire if I want to,
mm-hmm.
I think that is the big.
I'm right there with you on that. Exactly.
Yes. So we'll move out of graphics card stuff and move into processor stuff. So one big thing, and when I was researching this story, that kind of changed my thing is, you know, with the high-end desktop processors, we've been seeing, you know, Broadwell E, Haswell E. Intel is changing the naming to X.
Is it just X now instead of E?
Yes.
Okay.
So now we're going to have Skylake X and Kaby Lake X. And we have the details of each of these. So the big thing is that they're both going to use the same platform. So it's going to be called Basin Falls. So they will use the same chipset, basically.
Yeah, and a new pinout.
Yeah, new pinout. So this will, it's LGA 2066, so that's 2066 pins over the current 2011 pins. And it's called the Socket R4, that's the name for it. And We do know that Skylake X, just like the Broadwell E that just came out, right? Yeah. Yeah. Broadwell E that just came out, it will have 6, 8, and 10 core processors with TDPs of 140 watts. All the chips will have 44 PCI Express Gen 3.0 lanes. But what's interesting is moving on to Kaby Lake X, they're only going to be 4 core chips.
Huh.
Just like they're going to have a Core i5 and a Core i7 model, so that's it.
Even though they're an X series.
Yeah, it's really weird.
That's not really even an E or an X series, you know? Other than it is on the bigger socket.
Yeah, that's the thing. So I think, I don't know if they're just trying to make the bigger socket, like, that's the blueprint going forward. Like
more sellable?
Yeah, because Kaby Lake is still, like, Kaby Lake S and Kaby Lake U are still coming out for main, like, you know, the mainstream.
Yeah, mainstream.
Yeah. So,
so essentially, it's a mainstream processor that fits in an enterprise socket.
Yes.
Well, that's sort of cool. I mean, that gives, maybe they're having, like, issues getting manufacturers wanting to support these because they don't sell as well.
Possibly.
And then this gives more incentive. I mean, and it's sort of cool, too, because you could buy, you know, a 2066 board with, and then get a cheaper Kaby Lake and then upgrade it to a Skylake.
Yeah, yeah, you could do that.
And 2066, like 2011, I'm sure, is going to be around, what, till 2020?
Yes.
Is that what it says? Yeah, they're usually around for quite a long time.
Yes. So that's the only thing about this story that kind of caught me off, because you would think Kaby Lake X would be the same 6, 8, 10 core SKU. Yeah. But Intel has really been changing things around, just like how we went from TikTok to, I don't know what it's called now, but it's a 3-step instead of the 2-step process now.
TikTok.
Yeah. But yeah, so now all of your high-end desktop stuff will be called X instead of E. All of the socket 2066, the platform is going to have 10 USB 3.0 ports, 8 USB 2.0 ports, integrated Intel LAN, which is nice. So you have all that in there. So pretty cool. I just don't get the 4-core Kaby Lake X, but again, as this is all leaked stuff, so this isn't stuff Intel's even announced. So we will see what their plan is for that as they roll it out.
Okay.
You know, so
also, looking at the graph, you only have 1x16 for graphics with the Kaby Lake.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit slower.
Yes. So we will we'll see. But it's cool to see that stuff. I'm a huge processor guy, so this is awesome news for me. And I'm sure you are, it's just getting excited. Obviously excited for Skylake X.
The X makes it a little more confusing because the highest end enterprise chip was always had an X to denominate it, right?
Didn't yes. it?
So
yes.
That's just more confusing.
Yeah, I was totally confused when I first heard the story. I was like, what are these X processors? Because I had no clue.
Yeah.
Because, again, this is all leaked information.
My first thought was that these were all going to be, like, you know, extreme processors, right?
Yeah.
But they're indeed not.
Yes. So, again, we will see as time goes on and Intel actually officially announces this kind of stuff, we will definitely have all the information. But also talking about Intel, their next generation NUC stuff was leaked also. And I'm actually a huge fan of these. These are super high performance, extremely mini PCs. And I actually have a Gigabyte Bricks, which is based off the same design. Yeah. And it's super high performance. It's like basically like having a pretty decent desktop, a lot of these. So they're going to be releasing their 7th generation core processors in the NUCs, and that will be the NUC 7 series, and then they will also be releasing their lower power Celeron processors in what's going to be called the NUC 6C series. 6C series isn't all that exciting, just because it's lower power, it's made for a kind of legacy, it has legacy connections on it, all that kind of stuff. But the NUC 7 series, they're going to be called Baby Canyon because they are going to be based off of the Kaby Lake processors. Okay. So you'll have Core i3, Core i5, and Core i7 models. And the one thing that's super cool about these is they will have a very unique USB Type-C connector that has 10 gigabit a second USB 3.1, 40 gigabit a second Thunderbolt 3, and DisplayPort 1.2 all in one connection.
Nice.
Which is super cool. So you can obviously daisy chain, and you can do a lot of stuff on that one single connector. And I think that's really awesome for a product like this, where, you know, it is super small, so you don't have a whole lot of room for a bunch of USB ports or anything like that.
It doesn't need to handle everything.
Yeah, so super cool. These will be, the Kaby Lake ones will be pretty high performance, especially the Core i7 model. So if you're into this kind of stuff, definitely stay tuned, because these will be coming out, I believe. So NUX 6C, which were the legacy ones, which I'm not super excited about, they'll be launched by the end of 2016, and NUX 7 series will be launching in 2017. Maybe Intel will show us these at CES.
I would pretty much guarantee it.
Yes, so we'll probably see those.
You know, I gotta say, I know you like them. They don't excite me.
Well, because they're not like a gaming machine, but they are cool, powerful.
I believe that. But I probably won't care about something like this until you can sit it on my desk and say, this does everything you could possibly want to do.
I don't think that will ever happen.
Probably not.
Because
that kills all of their other product lines.
Well, and the thing is, too, is that you need that graphics power. And you're not able to fit, a 1080.
Eventually, though.
Yeah, but then by that time, we'll have something else that's bigger.
Yeah.
You know, that takes up more room.
True.
Yes.
I know, there's a place. It's just not exciting to me.
Yes, so. I like it. But if you're looking for a mini PC, they're a great way to go. You really don't have to do anything. You don't have to install anything. You can get them fully spec'd out with hard drive, with Windows installed, all that kind of stuff. So talking about storage, Seagate unveiled their 10 terabyte consumer hard drives. And with that, that makes them have the largest offering of 10 terabyte. Can you believe it? 10 terabyte? That's like a lot. That's a lot of space.
Yeah, somebody tell Jack, because he wants to put all of his Xbox stuff on this.
Yeah. So they announced 3 10 terabyte drives. And if you didn't know, just like Western Digital or WD, Seagate has specific drives for specific tasks. So their Barracuda Pro, which I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with, that is their drive that's made for desktops, gaming machines, things like that. And then they have their Iron Wolf drives, and they are made for NAS applications. And then they have their Skyhawk drive, which is made for surveillance. So they're all designed differently. But it's cool to see them come out. Like 10 terabyte is that's a lot of space. And a lot
We are in the age of needing it.
I know, with everything going on, all the Sky or the Barracuda and the Iron Wolf drives are available now. The Seahawk drive, I'm sorry, will be available soon, they say. But it's cool to see 10 terabyte is huge. Imagine putting 2 of these in an NAS or 4 of these in an NAS.
4 in an NAS is where it's at.
Yeah, so that's a lot of space there. Super cool. So yeah, not super exciting, but I think it's pretty cool.
So cool. What, do we know pricing?
Not yet.
A couple $100.
Yeah, probably. Just for that size, and that's pretty big.
Yeah.
Also talking about hard drives, ADATA announced their new external solid state drives. These come in handy, especially if you're a video editor on the go, or like a vlogger, or somebody who needs fast transfer speeds in a small package that you can take with you. If your laptop supports USB 3.1, you're definitely going to be able to take advantage of this. So ADATA announced the SC730, the SC660, and the SV620, all external SSDs. The SC730 is the one that's most exciting. It has IP68 dust waterproofing, super, super fast. It uses a USB Type-C connector as well, so you have that reversible connector, which is nice. 500 megabytes a second read and write, so it's super fast, and it's super light, 33 grams, super, super small. That military grade shockproofing, all that stuff. So this is something that you can kind of throw around as well. And it fits in the palm of your hand, so it's super small. I have a Samsung drive that's like this. I love it because it's tiny and super fast and super high capacity. So that's like what I use to edit video on the go, because I know I'll have the fast transfer speeds. Nice.
And you're basically with this, you're basically able to edit the files right on the drive, essentially.
Yeah, I don't have to move anything over. So when it's encoding, I still have all that fast speed, which is nice. And it is, they say it's the most compact USB Type-C external SSD in the world. So super, super small. The other two still use USB 3.1, I believe, if you can do it. 410 megabytes a second read and write, different sizes. So cool stuff there. It's good to see portable SSDs. I know a lot of people don't see use for them, but there are a lot of great use cases for them.
Yeah, it's definitely more of a professional piece. And they definitely carry like a professional price tag, but they're worth it if you need it.
Yeah, they're worth it if you need it, for sure. So we move on to some gaming-related stuff. The first thing is Fraps. If you don't know what Fraps is, it is an application that allows you to record video. That's what I primarily use it for. But also track frame rates and things like that in games. It looks like they're finally going to roll out a new version. It's been on the same version forever. Yeah. And they're finally going to roll out a new version that supports Windows 10. Because a lot of the new features in Windows 10, it didn't support. Like, you can't record or run games or run the... it has this really cool thing where it shows you your frame rate that you're running, like in real time, like in the corner of your screen. Any of the... Overlay? Yeah, the overlay. I don't know why I didn't think of what it was called. Any of the Windows games that are... Oh, what's that thing called? I don't even use it, but...
I don't know what you're talking about.
In Windows 10, it's like the Windows 10 store games.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, the Windows 10 store games, this didn't work on any of them. So it looks like they're finally getting an update that will support all of that and allow you to record and do all that kind of stuff on Windows 10. So
the games within a console or something?
Yeah, it's weird. We talked about this maybe 6 months ago when Tomb Raider came out. Okay. And the one that was... The Tomb Raider game that was for Windows didn't have all the other features like the other one.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. That type of thing. Yeah. So, and what's really great about Fraps is it records video uncompressed. So if you use like OBS or something to record gameplay, it's always compressed. This is fully uncompressed. So like your file sizes are massive, but you get the full quality that you want. So pretty excited. Obviously, if the new version comes out, we'll definitely let you know.
And it's free.
No, it's not free.
That's not free?
It's limited. There's a free version. Yeah, there's a free version. Okay. If you're doing any type of recording, I think it's like $20 or something. It's totally worth it.
It is such to me, it's like an old school program. I love Fraps, but I've always used it for like graphics overclocking, just keeping an eye on my frame rates and stuff. So
yeah,
I never did any recording.
Yeah, I use it a lot to record a lot of the stuff. A lot of like, we did overviews of a lot of like the software that comes with keyboards and stuff like that. Now I primarily use that. What's that thing I have?
Oh yeah, the stream thing.
Yeah, the Dreambox. Yeah, whatever. I forget what it's called, but I use that.
It's not a stream box, is it? It's a, what do they call that?
I can't think of a word. I don't want to go up and get it. So it's sitting over here, but. That thing's super cool, and I would totally recommend using that because that allows you to record directly from what's coming out of your graphics card rather than having it on your PC. So it allows me to record like all the BIOS videos I do. Yeah. I used to have to point a camera at my screen. Now I can record directly from my graphics card, and it looks better. So
yeah, and you don't have any other software to slow your PC down, nothing like that.
Yeah.
It's a sweet thing.
Yes. So finally, it is Comic-Con in San Diego this past week. And Nintendo announced their mini NES or their NES Classic console last week, I believe.
Yeah, they announced
it last week. If you don't know, this is a mini version of the original NES that will have 30 of the classic games preloaded. I believe it connects via HDMI, so you can connect it to your obviously modern TV, and you can play games and you can play games in 1080p, obviously, and they won't look horrible from what I've been told. So they had it shown for the first time in public at Comic-Con, and it is super tiny. There's a picture we have on the post next to the original NES console, and this thing is super, super tiny. This is something like you can like throw in your backpack and take with you somewhere.
Yeah, the controller is almost bigger than it.
Yeah, the actual controller is almost bigger than it. So this is something I might actually pick this up holiday season.
Honestly, I kind of want one.
Yeah, it will be $59.99. Again, 30 games preloaded. Not sure if you'll be able to load anymore. Maybe we can see people hacking this as well, which would be kind of cool. Oh,
it'll get hacked for sure.
It comes out November 11th, of course, right in time for holiday season. It comes with a single controller. You can pick up another controller for $10. I think I'm going to get this.
Yeah, I think that I'd get enough play out of it.
Yeah, to justify $60.
Simple. Yeah, it's just so simple. You can you can emulate every single one of these games on your PC, right? But it's not quite the same. And then you gotta have your PC in the living room, and you don't get to play on that Nintendo controller.
Yeah, that's the big difference. So $60, no questions asked. I will get it.
Yeah, second controller.
Yeah.
Sure.
Only thing I'm mad about is there's Blades of Steel is not one of the 30 games.
Yeah, you said that. There's probably going to be a handful of titles that people would be disappointed that they aren't found there, but like you said, this sort of thing always
It has all the hacked. Marios, and it has all the both the Zeldas, so I'm good. Like that, yeah, that's enough gameplay for me right there.
That's $60 right there.
Yeah, like there's a lot of, I think Castlevania's on there. Like I don't have the list. Yeah, I don't have a full list, but like all of the major classic games are on there for the most part. Yeah, so there's it's worth it if you want to play through Zelda again, which I don't even remember. I mean, I played it, but I don't really remember playing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
All of the Marios are on there, so it's totally worth getting just to play those over again.
Yeah, the Marios is pretty big to me.
Yeah, so
Donkey Kong.
Yeah, the original Donkey Kong's on there too.
Nice.
Yes. So yeah, $60. Get one.
It's cool. It'll look cool in your living room too.
Yes, for sure. So that brings us to what we have coming up next week. And as I talked about earlier, I'll be taking a look at Lenovo's ThinkPad X1 Yoga. That is their ThinkPad line, which is basically the standard when it comes to business laptops. And it's the Yoga version, so that allows you to flip the screen up, and it's super small, super thin.
Touchscreen.
I'm pretty sure yes.
Didn't try.
I haven't really. I turned it on. I've loaded everything, and I haven't like really got to play with it.
Gotten into it.
Yes, and then the Gigabyte X99 Ultra Gaming Motherboard. This thing is sitting right beside me on right now. Super sweet. This is their second round of X99 boards. Has all RGB lighting throughout, which is pretty cool. Which I haven't really got to mess with yet. I'll be shooting a video showing the different colors and different things you can do, and they have software that allows you to do all that. But it is an X99 board, so it's super high performance, and it has a lot of the new features that weren't on the original X99 board. So you have the U.2s in there, you have the metal brackets on both the PCI Express slots as well as the RAM slots. A lot of cool stuff. So like I said, I think it has the connector, but you have to buy the card.
Oh, interesting.
Well, yeah, a lot of them have that.
I thought that was what was getting added to these latest X99 boards, but I guess I was wrong.
You were wrong.
Absolutely.
They have to have the chipset built in, right. Or you can get they have a connector that you can get the card that has the chipset in it.
Okay. What is the card plug into? Is it a...
It's a header.
Oh, okay.
The card plugs into PCI Express, but then you plug it into a header. Like you plug...
A motherboard header for it?
Okay. Yes. Gotcha.
We're mostly just interested to see you play with the lights on it, because it looks pretty crazy.
Yeah, I'll be doing a pretty cool video on all of that stuff, so definitely stay tuned for all of that next week. Could have some other stuff thrown in there as well. It just all depends on what I get done and how busy I am and all that, and if the podcast doesn't mess up again, which we had issues with earlier. You'll notice cuts in this podcast if you haven't already. But that is basically it. So at the end of each podcast, we talk about anything fun we did. And I think I worked all week.
Did you? That's terrible.
I'm trying to think if I did anything. Not really. I've been really... Okay, so you know how I said I was like, didn't want to rush out those reviews. I also cleaned the entire office and got all that. Like, just kind of needed like a fresh start.
Yeah, it's that mental cleaning almost.
Yeah, it's just kind of everything was getting backed up as far as reviews and everything like that, and just kind of needed to really reset. Yeah, so yeah, so I did all that as well, but that's basically it. You do anything fun?
I watched Batman vs. Superman, which I know came out on the theater a while ago, but I watched it last night, and I didn't watch it in theater because it had such mixed reviews, but I thought it was fantastic.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's incredibly entertaining. I won't give anything away. It kind of, it keeps going, it keeps giving to you.
That's cool.
I expected it to, like, most of these, I am kind to, it's kind of a horrible thing to say, but I'm kind of over the current superhero movies because they've been, I feel like they've been rehashed so hard that I just kind of don't care, and they don't give you very much more in each one, and this I felt like gave you so much. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Well,
let's check it out.
I haven't watched anything.
Yeah. Someday you can try.
I can try to watch TV or watch movies. Yeah. But that is it. I know I have to run. Derek has to run. So we'll leave you with that.
Yeah.
As always, guys, we have a full section. Or a full... What am I saying? I'm like losing my mind. I'm thinking about going wakeboarding. So that's what I'm doing after this. We have a full show notes page, guys, that has everything. So as I say, check it out. Or talk about... You know, when we talk about it, you can click through. And you can read these articles and get all the information that we probably missed some of it. You know, and see all the pictures like Case Mod Friday and all that kind of stuff. And on your favorite podcasting software, whether it's iTunes or something else, just Think Computers, all one word if you want to find us. Until next week, catch you guys later.